Just Like Tivoli is dedicated to the children of war. What was the trigger that set you off about writing this song?
Just Like Tivoli is a really important song for me. I didn't write it for the children of war. It is dedicated to the children of war, but that's more of an afterthought. I wrote it about an experience that I had personally in my childhood that I likened to children of war. And that is that when I was young, my existence was filled with fear. It was very unsafe. And without going into, you know, any detail about that, suffice it to say that there weren't many days when I could just play and feel comfortable playing as a child without any cares or worries or fears. And in the song, I refer to a day in this town called Tivoli, which is located very close to where I am now. And I was taken there as a child, and it, on a hot summer day, it was a very joyful and peaceful experience. The whole day was just beautiful, sun-filled, warm, and I could play, and there were no cares, and there were no worries. And it filled my heart with such joy. As an adult, it makes me sad because I think about all the other days of my childhood that weren't just like that. And so after the fact, I likened that to children of war. I thought, well, that must be what their existence is like, where, say, for instance, children in Bosnia can't just go out and play because, you know, a sniper could shoot them dead in an instant. So this is a very chaotic, sort of unsafe existence.
Golden sunshine, I cover my eyes just like Tivoli. Fairgrounds and honeybees. Cemeteries in May. Look, Daddy, here comes a train, just like in Tivoli. Warmth and strawberries.
Who's gods I can't.
just what or who is this song about, and who are Oxy and Ezzy?
Dying to me illustrates this, again, it's another irony in my life, and that is that I am a very solitary person. What I have found is that if I allow myself to go on for too long being that reclusive, then I become very used to it. It makes me very socially inept, and I can't have that because I need people. And I think basically that's what this song is about, is me coming to the realization that I really do want people in my life. I really need other human beings. But also, the song illustrates the worries that I have, the fears that I have, that if I'm not pulled out of my shell, that I won't come out voluntarily. And so, thus the chorus of me crying, "Can't you see I'm dying?" To me, it's a certain sort of emotional death, being that secluded. And the references to Oxy and Ezzy are my nephews.
Maybe I need to feel some sunshine here.
All I ask is when I'm dead and gone.
If I ever see the girl again is about me pondering what it would be like if I could go back as an adult, if I could go back in time and encounter myself as a child. And the self, the me that was a child, was a terrorized sort of person. I was a tortured little soul. And if I could go back as myself, I would try to tell that little girl how wonderful life is and how many possibilities there are, so that she could feel a glimmer of hope. Because I remember when I was a child, hope was not something that was abundant in my life. It was something that was very hard for me to muster up in my soul. So it certainly would have benefited me to get a visitation from a future self, letting me know that everything was going to be really cool.
There she goes, so beautiful, but she's so stupid, and there she goes. If I ever see the girl again, I'm gonna tell her that she can be my friend. I don't know how she survived with everybody eating her alive. If I ever see the girl again, I'm gonna tell her. Like a heart attack, clean in my room I find artifacts of hers. What a sorry child, what a golden girl. Well, I moved along, I moved a long way. I play a good game. Yet still, I'd like to be there when she is thrown by her hair. I'd tear the faces off and show them their own violence. There she goes, so beautiful. She's so stupid, and mad as she goes. But that was many years ago, and now she's floating far below my consciousness. Well, I moved along, I moved a long way. I'm shocking the gods, I play a good game. Like to be there when she was thrown by her hair. I'd tear the faces off and show them their own violence. Thank you.
You're listening to a Happy Roads special here on 106.2 WCR. I'm Phil James, and that was a song called If I Ever See the Girl Again. Down, Down, that was a song inspired by the film Hunt for Red October, wasn't it?
Down, Down was heavily influenced by the Hunt for Red October. Lyrically speaking, it was also influenced by Das Boot, which was a very intense movie. But musically, it's kind of an old song. It's more like Collective Heart in that it was written, I think it was written like right after War Paint was released, or right around that time, in 1990-91 era. And the song is really about how fascinated I am by man's capacity for technology and how we don't always use our technology for the best means. Submarines are a good example, because in my mind I think it's just amazing that we figured out how to move around like sea creatures under the water, and yet for the most part these vehicles are used for war, and you know, so it's kind of an interesting clash of ideals there.
The hydrosphere keenly, I observe how the scaly creatures weave and cut the salt as thick as me, stinging with envy. We command, we demand the realm of every creature. Space a fish of steel, frightened we rely on our ability to read the sonar efficiently, but praise us all we think well. Innovation is a miracle in its own way. Thank you.
Big Dreams, Big Life is about how I realize that I create my own reality. And when I was writing that song, I was going through a time where it looked as though things were going to happen in my life that are very scary, and yet they're things that I've always wanted to happen in my life. So it's about me kind of looking at all the possibilities of my life and coming to terms with the fears that go along with those possibilities. It has nothing to do with not being able to beat the system and just going with the flow. It just has everything to do with, if you're going to create your own reality, then you have to conquer all the fears that go along with that. You have to be prepared. I have to be prepared. And that's not very easy for me because I am such a solitary person. I'm in the kind of industry that requires me to be very out there and very sociable. So it's a strange thing that I've done to myself here. But I love this. I love what I do. And so if I want this in my life, I need to come to terms with those other aspects that go along with it.
Thanks very much, Happy, for taking the time to talk to us. Tell us, what does the future hold for you now?
Currently, I'm writing for my next release. I'm not setting a release date for it right now because I'd like to take my time on it. When I released Building the Colossus, I did it in a very quick fashion. And in retrospect, I would have liked to have taken a little bit longer on that album. So for this next one, I'm going to try to do that. There are some other things in the works. I'm still playing out live right now in the United States. And there might be some other releases on oral gratification, one of which that I might participate in, but don't want to talk too much about that now. But basically, I'm looking forward to my next release.
Glory in numbers, glory so divine. Cold it is.
thanks once again. We all wish you the very best of luck in getting your music across to a British audience, and I'm sure that you'll find that once the word gets out, there'll be no stopping your career taking off over here. Those addresses once again are, for a catalogue, Aural Gratification, and that's A-U-R-A-L Gratification, at P.O. Box 380, Bearsville, New York 12409. And for the fanzine Roadways, it's P.O. Box 1953, Kingston, New York 12401. And finally, Glory, the last track on Building the Colossus. And this is something of a girls' club song, isn't it?
Glory is really cool because I wrote it during a time when I was realizing the amount of accomplishments that women had. Up to that point, I basically was under the very wrong impression that all the great things that have been created in this world, all the things that gain respect, are created by men. Don't get me wrong, I never thought that was a good thing, necessarily, but I was always misled to believe that women just don't create, they're not very creative, they're not inventive, that they're not doing great things. And then I started opening myself up to that possibility, and as soon as I did that, I started becoming aware, right under my nose were all these women who were doing these incredible things, and I was so inspired and filled with joy because of that, that I never really gave women the benefit of the doubt. And that's very odd because I'm one, so, you know, if I don't acknowledge it in other women, then what about myself? So I got into this habit of doing just that, of acknowledging other women's accomplishments. And they're great, they're incredible. And I think it's really important for women to open their eyes and look around them and see what other women are doing. Because we all need to know that that we have that kind of potential. And I don't think that's really encouraged in us. An example would be engineering. I mean, sound engineering. How many women are encouraged to do that? How many women are encouraged to pick up an electric guitar and be in a rock band? You do see that occasionally, but it's still a bit of an oddity in this society. And I think it's just so cool that more and more women are doing it, and I think we really need to support each other in that area.
Okay, well, you got my support as well, if that helps. Thanks once again, Happy, for giving up your time. My thanks also go out to Suzanne White and to Pammy Gill, without whom none of this would have been possible. And this has been a Matt Adams production for WCR, and we leave you with the Happy Roads tribute to the sisterhood, Glory.